So good morning again.
Good morning.
Okay, Daryl's awake in the room. I don't know about the rest of y'all online there, but thanks for being awake, you know, Daryl. But I'm really glad you guys are here. I'm really also, like, I'm ecstatic that it's not raining. Because I have a friend of mine, do you know that we're 21 inches of rain over, like, in the year, over our average? 21 inches. Like, people in California are drooling over that because, you know, they don't get any rain. But I'm really excited because, you know, we're spending a few weeks talking about what I should say, particularly what we should say when we're in the middle of a crisis, when things are going bad, when we're struggling, when we're suffering, when we're talking to someone who's going through a difficult time, or maybe someone you know lost someone close to them, or maybe there's someone you know is going through depression, or maybe there's a crisis like COVID-19 that everybody's, you know, experiencing together. And we're trying to figure out what it is we should say when we're in the middle of a crisis like the one we're in the middle of right now. And I just want to let you know, next week, we're going to talk about what we should say to the world, because we as Christians have something to say to the world in the middle of this crisis. The week after that, we're going to talk about what we should say to one another when we're in the middle of a crisis like the one we're in right now. But today, we're going to talk about what we should say to God when we're in the middle of a crisis. Because I think a lot of times when we're in the middle of a difficult time or a struggle or some kind of painful event, we're unsure how to pray. Like, we're not sure what exactly we should say to God. And today we're going to talk about that. And I'm really excited because we're going to talk about something I've never talked about before. And what we're going to talk about is this word right here. We're going to put it up on the screen. Lament. Lament. Now, I want to tell you this. Theologian N.T. Wright says that lament is the primary Christian response to our current crisis. To which we're like, that sounds pretty profound, dude. But what in the world does this word mean? Because I think if you're like, you know, the majority of Christians in America, when you hear the word lament, we have this idea of what it might be, but we're not exactly sure what it means. So let me give you a definition right here at the beginning. And that's this. Lament is a passionate expression of grief and sorrow. It is a prayer out of pain, a passionate expression of grief and sorrow, a prayer out of pain. And I don't know if you realize this or not, but the Bible is really a book of lament. There's laments all throughout the Bible. A third of the Psalms are Psalms of lament. There's an entire book of the Bible that's one long lament, the book of Lamentations. That's how it gets its name. The prophet Habakkuk lamented that God was going to judge the Israelites. Then you had Jesus who lamented in the final hours of his life. See, lament is just a way for us to pray when we're experiencing grief and sorrow and pain. Which, interestingly, that's some of the hardest times for us to pray when we're experiencing grief and sorrow and pain. We're just not sure what to say to God, and we're afraid we're gonna say the wrong thing and that God's gonna make it worse, you know, because he's gonna zap us because we said something wrong. And so lament really gives us permission to pray a certain way, as we're gonna see in just a minute, when we are experiencing grief and sorrow and pain. And what else is interesting is that all laments, when you look at laments in Scripture, they all contain basically four ingredients. And we're gonna talk about those four ingredients, or those four elements, this morning. And to kind of illustrate that, we're gonna use Psalm chapter 13. So if you have your Bible, if you're online, you can look up Psalm 13 at home. If you're in the room, you can look up Psalm 13. Because Psalm 13 is a great kind of shorter psalm that really illustrates all four of these elements very, very well. Let me tell you a little bit about Psalm 13. It's written by David. Majority of the Psalms were written by David, but it was written during a time when David was sick, not just a little bit sick, not just like I've got the flu, but like on his deathbed sick. And so he's kind of incapacitated as a leader. And some of his enemies were trying to take advantage of David's inability to do anything because he's sick, right? And so they're kind of trying to take him out and all this kind of stuff. And so he, in the middle of this sickness, writes this lament, this prayer to God. And so let me tell you the first kind of element of a lament before we get to the passage, because what we're going to see is that a lament is actually a turning to God. Turning to God. That's the first element of a lament. See, as we're going to see in just a minute when we read Psalm 13, is that all laments begin with a complaint. But what makes a lament different from complaining is that we turn our complaint to God, which is the opposite of what we do, right? See, when we have something to complain about, We complain to the people who are around us. We either complain to our spouse, or we complain online, or we complain to, you know, our anonymous audience online, whoever it is, all of our friends that aren't really our friends or whatever. But we voice our complaints to other people. But a lament is different. Instead of complaining to others, we go to God with our complaint. And so a lament is a prayer where we turn to God. But after we'd make this decision to turn to God instead of others, the next element of a lament, and you might want to write this down because I'm going to encourage you to do this after we're done today, is to bring your complaint. To bring your complaint. See, like I said earlier, every lament begins with some form of complaint. And most of those complaints take the form of a how or a why question. Look at David's complaint in Psalm 13, verses 1 and 2. He says this. He says, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me?" Like, what David does here is he just kind of openly and honestly kind of shares his pain. And that's what lament does. It gives us an opportunity to kind of come humbly before God and be honest about our pain and about our questions and about our frustrations, that are all those things that are unsettling to us. And I know that when you think about what David said there, most of us, we're afraid to pray that way, right? We're afraid to come to God with those kind of questions. We think we're being disrespectful if we come to God with those kind of questions. But if we're honest, when you're going through a season of loss or a season of pain or a season of uncertainty like we're in right now, when things aren't going the way we should go, we're in the middle of a worldwide crisis like COVID-19, if we're honest, we would have to admit that we have questions for God, right? Actually, I made a list of questions that I have for God. These are questions that I've asked God. Some of you are going to be, "I can't believe you as a pastor ask these questions of God." But I just wrote them out. Let me read some of them to you. How are you being good if you're allowing this? Why aren't you doing anything right now? Why does it seem like you're absent in the middle of this crisis? How are you going to fix this? How are you going to fix the economy? How are you going to bring an end to this pandemic? How are you going to show up in each of our situations? Why did you let this happen? Why won't you step in and stop this virus? Why does it look like you're not in control? Why don't you silence the people who are divisive? See, I have all kinds of how and why questions. And I know that those of us who grew up in church, especially those of us who grew up in church, we're sometimes afraid to admit that we have these questions. Like I said, we're afraid we're going to offend God or that we can't talk to God that way. And so there's no way we're going to voice questions like this. But when we're in times of suffering, when we're in times of pain, when we're in times of uncertainty, lament invites us and encourages us and gives us permission to bring God our how and our why questions. See, let me tell you something about God. God already knows your how and why questions. Do you realize that? Like, we're afraid to bring them to God. He's not sitting there going, "Oh my gosh, I had no idea you had that question. Like, could you repeat that? Because that one just took me by surprise." God is not surprised by our how and why questions. But I do think God is offended when we're unwilling to be honest with our how and our why questions. If he really is God, and he's really in control, and he really does love us, he's hurt and offended if we're afraid to come to him with our questions. And what lament does is lament gives us permission and encourages us and invites us to come to God with all of our how and our why questions, to bring our complaints to God. I hope you know this about God, but God's big enough to handle your complaints. Like, if you have things to complain about, he can take it. He's heard them all for years. It's not, like I said, it's not going to be surprising to him. So bring your complaints to God. And can I just tell you something? That our faithful God, we sang about how faithful our God is. Our faithful God will show up and listen. And I would go so far as to say he will answer your how and your why questions. Maybe not in the way you're expecting, maybe not in the way you want, but always with himself, as we're going to see in just a minute. See, we want God to answer the way we want God to answer, but God says, no, I'm not going to answer that way. I'm going to answer with me. We'll see that in just a minute in the psalm. Bring your complaint. You turn to God with your complaint, then you bring it to him. You ask him your questions. You unleash your questions on him. But then the next element of a lament is that we ask boldly for help. That we ask boldly for help. Now, one of the things that I've heard over and over again as a pastor that I just don't, there's a lot that I hear that I don't understand. But one of the things that I hear over and over again that I just don't understand is I'm afraid to ask God for this. Like I'm afraid to ask God for something. I'm afraid like I'm gonna inconvenience God. It's so weird, I don't understand that. Like we have a God who says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. We have a God that says to cast all of your cares on me because I care for you. It's not like we have a God who says, you can ask everything except that. God wants us to come to him with all of our requests and to ask boldly. And when we do that, when we ask for help, when we seek God in the middle of a painful or suffering or difficult situation, we are exhibiting profound faith. Look at how David asked for help in Psalm 13, verses 3 and 4. He says, consider and answer me, Lord, O Lord, my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. See, what David does in this prayer right here where he's asking for, he's almost begging, right? If you look at this, the tone of this is one of desperation. Like he's desperate for God to do something. He's desperate for God to step in. He's desperate for God to show up and rescue him out of what he is going through right here. And you can see from his ask that he is completely dependent on God, right? So let me ask you, if you're in the room, if you're online, what do you need help with right now? What do you need help with right now? Why aren't you asking God for that? See, the truth is, every one of us in the room or online, there's something that we desperately need help with right now. We're frustrated, we've got complaints, and we need God to step in and help us. And laments invite us to be bold in our asking for help. They invite us to be courageous in our asking for help. So we need to bring our complaints to God, but then we need to have the courage to boldly ask him for help. And it's okay to be real and honest with your requests. See, here's what I think sometimes we feel like we gotta do. We gotta like churchify our requests. You know what I'm talking about? Like we have to look up churchy words. Because we figure if we can say it with some churchy words, well then that's okay, you know, it's okay, right? David doesn't really use churchy words. David's like, I'm about to die, God. You got to do something. You know, things are not going good right now. Read some of his other things. Like David goes so far as to say, God, my enemies, those that are trying to take me out, would you take their children and bash their heads up against the rock until their brains come out? That's basically what he prays. I've prayed that for people before. But just saying, some of you in the room. Oh, I'm just kidding. Just kidding, maybe, but it's so awesome that here's this guy, David, a man after God's own heart. You realize David's described that way throughout scripture. He's a man after God's own heart. It's like, that's like saying he's God's favorite, right? God's favorite, he prayed that way. He had the courage to boldly ask that kind of, those kind of things of God. It's just incredible. So bring your ask. What do you need help with? Bring your boldly ask. And then the fourth element is this. To declare your trust. To declare your trust. Something that I find amazing about all laments. They begin with a complaint. And sometimes the complaint is pretty serious and pretty raw and pretty real. And then they ask for help. And some of the requests for help are really outlandish. Like taking some child's head and bashing it up against a rock. I mean, that's all that. But then all of the, every lament in scripture ends with this declaration of trust in who God is. And those are usually introduced by the words but and yet. Like, I had this complaint, God, and I need your help, but. God, I had this complaint, and I need your help, yet. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Look at Psalm 13's but. It says this, after his complaint, I'm about to die, I'm frustrating, I feel like you've abandoned me, God, you're nowhere around, but I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. See, what David does here is he declares his trust in who God is, not necessarily for what God has done in the middle of his difficult situation, but for who God is. That God is the one who has loved him with a steadfast love. That God is the one who has rescued him, given him salvation, not salvation from his sickness, but salvation as far as being restored to a right relationship with God. And then that God has been generous with him. And if you think about it, David was a murderer. David was an adulterer. David was, you know, he wasn't like, you wouldn't have hired him to be your pastor, right? I mean, you probably wouldn't have hired him to do anything for you. He should be in prison for what he's done, right? But God has dealt bountifully with him by being gracious towards him, by extending forgiveness towards him. And that is the declaration that David makes. I want to show you another one of these declarations out of Lamentations chapter 3. I told you the entire book of Lamentations is one long lament, five chapters of lament. But then we get to chapter 3, and it begins with a complaint, right? I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. That's how some of you feel right now, right? My soul is downcast within me. When I look at all that's going on around me, when things just, I don't know when this is going to end. I don't know when we're going to get out of this. When are things just going to get back to normal, God? My soul is downcast within me. Yet, I love that word. Yet, I will call to mind, and therefore I have, this I will call to mind, and therefore I have hope. And look at what he calls to mind. Look at what he remembers. Look at what he brings to mind intentionally. He doesn't just happenstance upon this. He, in the middle of his affliction, in the middle of his suffering, in the middle of things not going the way he wants to do, in the middle of his depression, where his soul is downcast, he remembers this. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. Isn't that good? And look, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I said to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. See, in a lament, yes, we bring our complaints to God and we need help. We always go to him for help. But at the end, we always turn back to our God who can be trusted, to our God who we need to focus on. This is the goal. This is the destination of all of our laments, bringing us back. Sure, we voice our complaint to him and our frustration and our hurt and our feeling of abandonment and our feelings of depression and all of that that's bothering us. But then we come back to who God is. And who God is not determined by our circumstances, right? God is no matter what's going on with you or with me. You know, we just sang, in death or in life, I'm confident of your great love for me. Like, God loves us whether we're alive or dead. Some of you think, well, God doesn't love me if I'm dead. But no. God's love is not dependent on your death or your life. It's who he is. And in a lament, our focus always shifts from our circumstances, where our complaints begin, because they always begin in our circumstances. We move from there to what we're complaining about, to who God is. Not what God does, but who God is. See, that's where we can get fused a lot of times, right? Because we think that, you know what, I'm gonna trust in you, God, if you're doing what I want you to do. I'm gonna trust in you if you're making things better. I'm gonna trust in you if you take away my depression. I'm gonna trust in you if you give me this, whatever this is. I'm gonna trust in you if you fix my marriage. I'm gonna trust in you if you do this. But a lament reminds us that we don't trust in God because of what he does for us. We trust in God because of who he is. That he is God who is in control, who loves us, who lavishes his love on us and all that. Like I was thinking, for instance, even though, this may be you, even though I'm feeling so much anxiety, even though my employment status is up in the air, even though I'm frustrated, even though I feel like life is out of control, even though my marriage is struggling, even though I'm worried about my children, even though I feel lonely, yet, I will trust in the Lord because he is in control, because he is worthy, and because he is all that I need. See, laments always end with this declaration that our God is good, even if our circumstances aren't. And that's hard for us to understand, right? That's why some people have trouble with God, because how can God be good if my circumstances aren't good? But we have a gracious God. We have a God who lavishes his love on us. We have a God who is with us, and he showed us how much he loved us and showed us that he is with us by sending his son Jesus to die for us. You remember what Jesus, one of Jesus' name is Emmanuel, which means God with us. That is who God is. And lament, always, whenever we lament, we come to this destination where we declare our trust in who God is. And I think that's really the challenge for some of you in this room. That's where we struggle. Like, we're good with our complaints. Like, we can even stretch ourselves to talk to God that way, even though it's uncomfortable and we think he's gonna zap us, right? He's like, oh, you're getting the flu. Oh, I'm picking you for COVID, you know, because you voiced your complaint, right? But we can do that. But when everything's falling apart and we just can't dig ourselves out of this hole, it's really hard for us to trust in God for who he is. But that's the power of a lament. It brings us out of our circumstances and into the presence of our God, who is so much bigger and so much grander and so much holier than we can imagine, and who loves us no matter what. So, since life seems to be this kind of recurring succession of sorrows and pain and disappointment and discouragements, which sounds a little depressing, right? But I think we would all agree with that. Even if life's going good, there's something that's not right. Whether it's cultural, like COVID-19, or whether it's just, you know, our stomach doesn't feel good, or we're having a marriage little tiff, or one of our kids is driving us up the wall, or whatever. You know, life is filled with sorrows. And since life is filled with sorrows, I think that those of us who call ourselves Christians, we need to become experts at lament. We need to learn how to lament. We need to be ones who regularly talk to God honestly about our sorrows and our struggles. So in light of that, I've got a homework assignment for you. I got something I want you to do this week. I want you to practice lamenting. And here's how it's going to start. First thing I want you to do is I want you to, this week, read Psalm 10, 13, 22, and 27. Now you can read more. Actually, you can Google Psalms of Lament, and it'll pull out all this list. Like there's, like I said, there's almost 50 of them. You can do that. But I want you to start specifically with these. We talked about 13 today. 10's a great one. I read that one this week. 22, you'll recognize that one. Jesus quotes that one when he's hanging on the cross. And then 77, I want you to spend some time reading those laments this week. I want you to read through them. And as you do that, what you'll discover is that there are going to be certain phrases that kind of resonate with you. Certain phrases that are going to jump off the page at you, and they're going to become your words that you pray to God. So often I take the Psalms and I just put my name. You know, it says David's the author, but I just scratch that out and put in Jonathan. And it's my prayer. It's what I pray to God. And so somebody's phone's ringing. Can you hear that online? I can. So where was I? Oh yeah, read that. And as you do that, what you're gonna discover is that these laments, they're gonna become personal very, very quickly. And the reason why they're gonna become personal is because they were written by real people with real problems, and you're gonna resonate with that. So start with those. The next thing, I want you to start, as you read through those, I want you to look for those four elements that we talked about this morning. Turning to God, bringing your complaint, asking boldly, and choosing to trust. Start to look for each of those elements, okay? And then after you look for those and you find examples, I want you to write and pray your own lament. I want you to write and pray your own lament. I want you to take some time and maybe follow the outline of one of the Psalms that you read. Maybe take some of the words from some of those Psalms, or maybe just make up your own. Come up with some how and some why questions and write them out. And be honest. It's like I said, God's not surprised. God's not gonna go, oh my gosh, I cannot believe you asked that question of me. You're out, you know? That's just not how he works. Then after you do that, write out your bold request for help. Be bold with that. And then write out your but or your yet. But I trust in you. For you are good, for you have shown favor to me because you are gracious. Yet I trust in you because you are awesome and you're in control and you've always been faithful. I think this is a habit that you and I need to get into on a regular basis, doing this. And so that's kind of my homework for you. And just so that you know, I did that this week. This week, I was driving down the road and I was thinking about what we were talking about this morning. And I decided I would just, out of my frustration and all that's kind of going on, I just unleash this flurry of how and why questions. Probably takes me 13 minutes to drive from my house to the building right here. Probably 11 of those 13 minutes were spent with me asking how and why questions of God. And it was no hold barred, right? And like if God was out to get me, he could have taken me out a lot of times with some other cars on the road. But I think he just loves it when we're honest. But then after that, I just listed out how I needed him to help me. I just cried out for help. And then I spent some time sitting where I park right over here before I came in the office, declaring my trust in God and who he is. I want you to develop that same habit. See, I think there's a reason why David was a man after God's own heart. And it wasn't because he was super spiritual or super holy or perfect. It's because no matter what was going on in David's life, he always sought after God. He always pursued God. He always turned to God. After he sinned, it took him a while after the Bathsheba thing, but he always went to God asking for forgiveness. And I want us to follow that same example. When things are going bad, when we're struggling, when we're suffering, that we would become competent lamenters. Because I agree with N.T. Wright. Our primary response to our current crisis is lament. And you know, I can say that with confidence because there is nothing we can do to fix what's going on in our world. Like I said last week, we all have opinions about it, but we are powerless to do anything. But you know what we can do? You know what we can control? We can control where our complaints go. And we can control our focus. And we can remember who God is. Not what he's doing, but who he is, as is written all throughout his word. So let's become competent lamenters as a church family. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the language of lament. That you're not a God. And I know there are other gods out there. I know that in Islam, you cannot talk to Allah this way. I know that in Mormonism, you can't talk to their pseudo-Jesus this way. I know in so many cults, you can't talk about their leader this way. You can't ask these questions. But God, you give us permission to ask these questions, which shows me that you are totally secure in who you are, which is so incredible. But God, help us to take advantage of your grace and your mercy and who you are and come to you with our complaints and to boldly ask you for help and then to declare our trust in you because, God, you are trustworthy. We do trust you even when things are uncertain and we don't understand, even when we are questioned or we have questions. God, you are trustworthy and we love you and we thank you for the opportunity to have this language where we can speak to you. My prayer for those online and for those in the room is that we would learn how to lament. And that as we lament, that you would strengthen our faith, that you would grow us in our relationships with you, and that you would help us to be better salt and light in the world in which you've placed us. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.